Welcome. Thank you for tuning in again to the Bible Believers Broadcast, brought to you by the Bible Believers Church of South Lyon, Michigan. We continue now as Pastor Mike takes us through the book of John.
All right, folks, it's good to be back with you here today. We're going to pick up where we left off yesterday. We left off in John chapter number 3, and we kind of focused on verse number 9, where Nicodemus said, "How can these things be?" And we are talking about what true salvation is, and that oftentimes the natural man does not understand the things of God, and so as a result, the devil sent many lies and makes us to believe that our salvation comes by something we do or something that we can handle or something that we can perform. And yet the Bible teaches the exact opposite about salvation. It teaches that it's by the Spirit of God. And if somebody wants to be born again, they have to receive what Jesus Christ said and do what he said. And that is to repent of your sin and call upon the name of Jesus Christ to save your soul. And he came to do the work that it takes to save us and to wash away our sins. Salvation's by grace through faith in him. We're going to pick up the storyline here and kind of go over that more as we get through this chapter. In verse number 10, Jesus answered and said unto him, speaking to Nicodemus still, "Art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things?" Here Jesus is pointing out to the fact that this man's a teacher in Israel. Remember, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a good man, an educated man, a religious man, and yet he still did not know what it meant to be saved. He did not know Jesus Christ. I imagine there's a lot of pastors in the pulpits today in America that aren't even saved themselves. Many Nicodemuses out there. Teaching a false gospel, teaching what they've been taught, or teaching what they've studied or they've come to understand, yet never having been truly born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. Many religious people in church, many educated men who think they got their life all together, so therefore they don't need God. But the Bible says, "What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what should a man give in exchange for his soul?" So here Jesus is pointing out to him that he's a master in Israel, but he still doesn't know the things of God. In verse number 11, he begins to spell some things out to Nicodemus. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness." Well, now he's speaking to him as a man. Well, I talk about things that I know, don't you? I talk about things that I've seen, don't you? I mean, isn't it true that a man who gains some experience in life and learns some things in his life testifies the things that he's learned? He deals with his loved ones and he wants to help them, so he tells them what he knows. And he says, we're speaking what we know and testifying what we've seen. Folks, today I'm telling you about something I know. I'm not trying to be a know-it-all. I'm not trying to say that I'm smarter than you or anything like that. I'm telling you I know what it means to have Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know what it means to understand what the Bible says about heaven, about hell, about sin, and about eternity. And I've trusted him. I have him in my heart. I know it for a fact. It's not... Here's the problem. People say, "Well, that's so arrogant. That's so... How could you say something? How could you say you know for sure?" It's actually not arrogant. One of the most humble things a person could ever say is that they're sure if they died, they're going to heaven, if they're saying it from a biblical standpoint. The reason is because, folks, it's from a biblical standpoint, it means I know that I'm a worthless sinner. It means I know that I deserve to go to hell. It means I know that I sinned against a holy God, and there's nothing I can do to turn my ways around and earn the right to heaven. And it means that I realize that Jesus Christ came and bled and died on the cross of Calvary to suffer my sin and to pay my punishment. And I realize all that. And I completely abandon everything that Mike Reagan can do, everything that Mike Reagan is, everything that Mike Reagan knows or can accomplish or could do in and of himself. And I've completely turned from myself to my Savior. And from the depths of my soul, I cried out to him asking for his forgiveness and mercy, and receiving his gift of eternal life, receiving the penalty that he paid in my place. I received it into my heart. And when I realized that, when I asked him to save me, when I called upon his name, like Romans 10 teaches us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when I did that, he saved me. So when I say I know for sure, and I'm testifying to you today that I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, He lives in my heart, His Spirit has quickened my dead spirit and given me eternal life, and I walk with Him and I talk with Him and I know Him, that's not arrogance. That's actually the opposite of arrogance. When it's spoken of from a biblical perspective, from the way Jesus Christ Himself taught it. See, it's an arrogant thing to think that you can earn your way to heaven. It's an arrogant thing to think that your denomination or your church is the answer, or that you're saved because of what church you're a member of, or because of how much money you give, or because of the good works that you do outweighing your bad works, or because you've been faithful to your spouse, or you've been a good husband, or a good mother, or a good provider, and you always bring the check home, and you don't drink all the money away, or you don't waste it all on dope and all those kind of things. Yeah, I'm a good guy. I help people out at Christmas. Well, those are all great things, but if you think that's what's getting you to heaven, that's the epitome of arrogancy, and pride is a wicked thing. It's a sin of the devil, wanting to exalt himself and promote himself above Jesus Christ. Well, I'm testifying to you what I know, and I know Jesus Christ is the Savior. And he says to Nicodemus, you receive not our witness. Funny thing is, most people don't receive the witness. In verse number 12, he says, if I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? So Jesus Christ is talking about the things on this earth, about receiving the Lord now and the here and now. And if you're going to reject that, then how can he teach you greater things about heaven? There's things, folks, that we have to learn that we can't know. The Bible says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. If he can't teach you about things on this earth, how are you going to learn about things of heaven? Verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So he said, I came down from heaven. No man's gone up there. I came down. And when I came down, I'm still up there. You know what this verse is? This verse is showing you, a verse showing you the deity of Jesus Christ. He said, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. He said that in the context of, but he that came down from heaven. He said, I've come down from heaven, and I'm still in heaven. Why? Because he's God. So while he was here, he was there. You say, oh, come on, that's ridiculous. Now, wait a minute. You believe he was a prophet? Well, almost all religions teach a certain type of Jesus, that he was a prophet. So if he was a prophet, he's either lying or he's telling the truth. And if he's lying, he's not a prophet. You see, the whole world has a testimony of Jesus Christ. God's given every religion on this planet a testimony of Jesus Christ. So when you die and stand before God and he begins to reason with you, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. When God gets you to heaven and begins to reason with you about Jesus Christ, you're going to recognize that your own religion contradicted itself. Your own opinions of Jesus condemn you. He was here on earth while he was there in heaven. And if he was a prophet of God, he wasn't lying, as he was speaking the truth. And the truth he told you is that I'm here now, but I'm there at the same time. He's God. It's a verse on the deity of Jesus Christ. In verse number 14, it says this, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, he says, in the context of the fact that he's here while he's there. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Now, Jesus Christ begins to preach some Bible. One thing I appreciate about the Lord and about all the New Testament apostles is that when they begin to teach their doctrine, they use Old Testament scriptures. They use Bible to prove it. You know, you ought to ask a preacher to prove what he believes from the Bible. You ought to give him a test. You should not just believe a guy because he makes you feel good. Because he tells you fluffy and sweet things. Because he promises you prosperity. It's always strange to me how these guys who are promising everybody prosperity ask them for their money first. You give, and then in response to your giving, then God's going to bless you. Well, listen, guy, if it works that way, why don't you give to everybody else instead of asking everybody else to give to you, and then God will bless you, and you won't need their money in order to get a blessing, see? Why is it the get-rich-quick guys, the get-rich-through-God, the prosperity gospel preachers, all need the money of folks in church who are trying to serve God in order to get themselves rich? While promising God's people that if they give to them, they're going to... Do you follow my logic? It doesn't make any stinking sense at all. Come on, man. Practice what you preach. Well, Jesus Christ doesn't just get up there and tell you things you want to hear. He doesn't just give you his opinion. He doesn't manipulate the masses to get the money out of them. You know what he does? He tells them the truth and he backs it up with the Word of God. That's a preacher now. A man says he's a prophet, prove it. The only way he can prove it to you, the only way he can prove it to you, listen to me now, the only way he can prove it is if he says, turn in your Bibles and let me show you. Turn in your Bible and let me show you. And can answer scripture with scripture. Jesus Christ begins to use the scriptures. And he's telling us about an Old Testament example of when Moses was in the wilderness with the people. And the people sinned against God. And God sent a judgment against them. And the judgment that God sent against them was serpents to bite them. And he says, listen, here's the deal. Moses, if you want to stop this plague, go get a brass serpent, put it on a pole, and pick that pole up. And when the people look to that serpent on the pole, they'll get freed. They'll get healed. From the sin, the snake of sin that bit him, the curse of sin, the judgment of sin. Do you see the type? He says, Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Friend, the Bible says that God made him, Jesus, to become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God is in him. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus Christ never sinned. He lived the perfect life. He, you know, sin is what kills us, right? The wages of sin is death. Well, if Jesus Christ never sinned, how in the world could he die? He did die, didn't he? Of course he died. So how did he die? Well, I'll tell you how he died, friend. He died because my sin and your sin was upon him. God made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a blessing, man. You see, Jesus Christ was that serpent in the wilderness. He was that one lifted up on the cross. And if you'll look to Jesus Christ, he'll save you. You know, I mean, the only way he died is my sin was on him. A perfect man, he would have never died. He died on that cross because he took your sin on him. He was that serpent in the Old Testament. When God sent that thing, he was sending it as a type of sin and a type of the healing from the curse of sin. My friend, Jesus Christ's death on the cross of Calvary is the healing from your curse of sin. If you'll look to him today, he'll heal you from the snake bite. And the snake bite is the sin that's in us. He became what you and I are so that you and I could become what he is. Will you receive him today? It's all God expects. Until next time, God bless you.
Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know you can't go wrong when you're siding with God. One man with God is a majority. Salvation, eternal life, forgiveness of sins, all glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's it for today's broadcast. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. And be sure to come back tomorrow and every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 5:15 p.m. If you'd like to catch up on any of the broadcasts that you might have missed on this series, you can do so online and hear more teaching and preaching from the Word of God at the Bible Believers Church website at www.bbcosl.com. And online there, you can contact Pastor Mike directly with any questions that you may have. We would love to hear from you. If these broadcasts have been a blessing to you, please drop us a line and say hi. God bless.